Amen. How many of you enjoyed the good singing tonight? Say amen. Would you do it?
Amen.
I tell you, I appreciate the good singing of the choir. And then I appreciate the good singing by Jimmy Lou and then by the trio. I'm glad, brother, that when God saves, He gives you a song. I believe everybody's got one. Now, you may not be able to sing it like other people. I can sing as good as anybody when it starts off right down here. But sometimes it crosses up before it gets up here. But I'm glad God put a new song in my mouth. And it is good. And I know you enjoyed the good singing tonight. Praise the Lord. I like that song, Here Comes the Bride. I never forget the first time I heard it or first time it ever made a great impression on me. I was over in Chattanooga in a meeting. And while I was there in that meeting, Greg Choir was singing that, Here Comes the Bride. And there was a returned missionary. I didn't know who she was, but she's hid back down behind the organ. And when they got pick up your trumpet, Gabriel, she jumped up and started blowing that trumpet. I started to run plumb out on Roswell Boulevard and climb a telephone pole. Hallelujah. I mean, it was right. I said, praise God. A bride is being made up now. And one day we're going to a wedding. Amen. If you're saved, you're part of that bride. If you know the Lord Jesus, then you'll be in the wedding in the sky. Last week, a fellow came to my room up in North Carolina. And he sings a song, I'm going to a happy, happy wedding in the sky. And if saved, then you're headed for the greatest wedding that's ever been known. Now, our brother here is going to Israel, and Israel is the bride of God, the Father. But the church of the firstborn is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad, praise the Lord, you talk about a time, children. We're headed for that great wedding in the sky. Now, I appreciate all of you coming. Let me say this. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to bring a message entitled, and I hope you'll be here, One of the Greatest Mistakes of This Generation. Now, this generation's made a lot of mistakes. But tomorrow night, I want to bring you a message on one of the greatest mistakes of this generation. I want you to bring your Bible. I want you to be here. I believe that God will bless your heart. And then one night, I don't know which night, maybe Friday or Saturday night, several people have asked me to preach this sermon this week, and if I can, either Friday or Saturday night, I'm going to preach on If God Sets Your Barley Fields on Fire. And I had several people ask me about that, and I trust that you'll pray, and if God will let me, we'll bring that message. Yes. I don't keep any records. Now, I don't fall out with preachers and keep records, but you can keep records of how many get saved, and that's fine. How many you think get saved? Only God knows how many get saved.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, a lot of people may come to the altar, but only those that believe unto righteousness get saved. There's a lot of people that come unto the altar when I'm preaching that have never been saved. But boy, when God saves one, He's saved. Amen? When God saves one, He's saved. And but I don't keep any record. But there's one thing I keep, a record on how many preachers I have gone out under the sermon, He'll set your barley fields on fire. We now have 239 that are preaching, our full-time missionaries, our evangelists, or pastors, that have gone out under that one sermon, He'll set your barley fields on fire. Seldom do we ever preach it. We don't have several that go out, or at least one or two, every time we usually preach it, surrenders to preach the Word of God. And one night, I hope it'll be maybe Friday or Saturday night, I'll be able to preach, If He Sets Your Barley Fields on Fire. So you pray and let the Lord believe. But tomorrow night, I want to bring the message, and I want you to be sure to come. One of the greatest mistakes of this generation. I hope you'll be here and bring your Bible. May God bless you. Let me just say something about Sunday, and we'll get ready to the message. Sunday we'll have a great day. I believe Brother Sammy said that we'll come for the morning service, and then we'll take a lunch and go out here on this table. And maybe spread it and eat some chicken and ham or whatever you bring, praise God. Bring something good. Say amen. And we'll have a good time. And I hope you'll come Sunday. Then Sunday afternoon at 2:30, I'm having a rally service. And I want to bring a message on the new war on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brother, there have been many wars declared on the Son of God. But I want to tell you, when all the infidels and atheists and modernists and apostates are in hell, the Son of God will still be the first and the last and everything in between. Say amen. Amen. He is. And I hope you'll be here Sunday afternoon. I tell you, it disturbed me when I first heard about this thing. GMC is sponsoring it. And NBC is running it, and they're declaring war on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to come hear that message Sunday afternoon. I hope that you won't miss any, but if you have to miss any, don't miss Sunday afternoon. And you want to hear that. I don't understand it. I mean, there wasn't but one perfect man that ever lived, and he's always been hated, and he still is hated. You say, preacher, if Jesus lived today, we wouldn't crucify him. Yes, we would. Jesus is no more popular today than he was when he walked the shores of Galilee. Brother, the world hates him. He's despised and rejected of men. And he always has been, he always will be, until that glorious day when all of us shall bow at his feet and sing, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. But I want you to hear that Sunday afternoon, so you bring your Bible. Now I want you to take your Bible tonight quickly and turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 19. And this is a great chapter. I wish you'd read it all. When you get home, talks about Joab, talks about David. Now, if you walk the streets of Jerusalem tonight, and if you ask who were the three greatest men that ever walked the streets of Jerusalem, do you know what they'd tell you? I mean, do you know what you'd find out? If you walked over Jerusalem tonight, and I've been there many, many times, but if you walk down the streets of Jerusalem tonight, stop anybody and say, who's the greatest man that ever walked the streets of Jerusalem? You'd get three answers, and not a one of them would be Jesus Christ. You say, no, yes, if you go, you'll find out. Not one of them would be Jesus. First of all, they'd tell you Moses. Oh, they'd say Moses when Moses was the greatest man that ever lived in Palestine. Moses was the greatest man. Then some of them would say Abraham. He's our father. And then the rest of them, I'd probably say David. Now, you'll find those three, and not one of them would say the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, we find King David. He was greatly beloved. I mean, he was God's choice. And he was greatly beloved. Saul was man's choice. You leave it to man, he'll mess God every time. You leave it to man, and he'll mess up every time. I don't care whatever man's done, he's messed it up. Anything that he does, he messes up. So I want you to turn with me, 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I want you to stand with me, and we're going to read the Word of God together. Let's everybody stand for the reading of the Word of God. Everyone standing for the reading of the Bible. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. And if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll see that the prefix here are the title of the verses that remain. David returns to Jerusalem. David had been in exile 60 miles or 50 miles at least across the Jordan River. Now, Jordan is about 19 miles from Jerusalem. So if you take 19, put it on about 50, David had gone 70 miles from Jerusalem, and he was in exile. And the people loved him in Jerusalem, and the people wanted to see him. Now, as they wanted to see David, the king, boy, I want to see our king. I want to see King Jesus, don't you? I want to see the Son of God. What a blessing it is to think about Jesus. Someday we'll see him face to face, and we'll bow down and praise his name. But let's notice, if you have your Bible open, and I'll begin reading with verse 9 and read down through verse 12. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. Brother, I'm glad he saved me out of the hand of my enemies. And he had delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. You remember Absalom rebelled against his dad, David. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? They said, why don't you start talking? And let's start telling people we want to bring the king back. Let's start talking it everywhere. I believe, brother, you ought to talk about Jesus coming back everywhere you go. Somebody said, are you premillennialist? I'm so pre-owning like to go to the post office anymore. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. I knew that'd make his eyes perk out over there. He said, you haven't said anything about the post office yet. But that's right. Amen. I'm premillennialist. You know what a premillennialist is, and I know. We believe in the rapture. I know the king's not coming next in God's calendar events. Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming in the air, and he's going to snatch away the bride. Then there'll be 7 years tribulation, and then, hallelujah, he's coming back. Say amen right there.
Amen.
He's coming back. All right, let's read. And King David sent to Zobah and to Abner and preached and saying, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren. Ye are my bones and my flesh. Now, I don't have time to go into that tonight, but I want you to really study this verse. Ye are my brethren. Ye are my bones, my flesh. Wherefore, then, are ye last to bring back the king? Now, notice what he said. He's writing here, and he said, ye are my brethren. You folks have a king. I have a king. He's in exile. Let's talk about that glorious day when we look down that road and see the chariot coming back up the road from Jericho, up the road from the Jordan River, up the road from the land of exile. Let's keep our eyes down the road. I believe tonight if you're saved, you've got your eyes on the eastern sky, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to step out and sound that trumpet. And brother, the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound, and we're rising to meet him in the air. I would you be seated all over the house, everyone seated, and would you bow your head just for a moment? And in just a moment, I'm going to pray and bring you the message, the king is coming. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, everybody praying, everybody asking God to touch you. Our Father, thank you for every blessing we've enjoyed already. Thank you for this church and Brother Sandy. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the good singing. How it made melody. Oh, how it thrilled us. I'm glad the bride, here comes the bride, to ever be at his side. And one day our bridegroom is coming for us. And we thank you for that. But oh God, I'm glad that the king of the earth, he that sitteth upon the throne, shall laugh in the region as men shall mock him. I'm glad that Jesus is going to be the king of kings and the Lord of lords one day. And I pray that tonight every heart and every soul shall be excited. And Lord, may this be an unusual service. There's somebody here tonight, Lord, that may be standing on the very brink of eternity. There may be someone, our Father, that's here backslidden out of fellowship of God. And I pray that tonight, that whatever said, that the sweet Holy Spirit shall take the words of the preacher and the word of God, and may it be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, God, give us souls tonight. May the convicting power of the Holy Spirit be real in our hearing tonight. And we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the king is coming. I do not know of anything any better than go out here on the streets and tell people that one of these days the king of glory, one of these days the king, the Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. If you study the Bible, the New Christian Testament, you'll find that they had a word and they called it Maranatha. Do you know what the word Maranatha means? It means behold he cometh. And they'd walk and greet each other and say Maranatha. And that meant the king's coming. That meant that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Now, I do not know why people would despise the doctrine of eschatology and the doctrine that the Lord Jesus is coming again. If there's anything that thrills me tonight, it's the thrill of knowing that one glad morning that the same Christ that went away shall so come in like manner. As you see him go into heaven, so shall he come. But you say, Brother Mays, what about King Jesus? Did you know that Jesus came in this world? Did you know that Jesus lived 33 years, died on a Roman cross, and was buried in a borrowed tomb? Got up on that third day, 40 days later, stepped up on a cloud, and now seated at the right hand of God. And you say, why? The Bible said to this end, that he might be the Lord and the King of kings. To this end came Jesus Christ into this world. To this end did Jesus die on that cross. To this end he was raised from the dead. To this end he's coming back again. And I'm glad I'm looking for him. But if you've got your pencils tonight, I want to give you four things about the king. First, he is a rejected king. He was was rejected, and he still is rejected. You say, Brother Meeks, I don't understand that. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the first question was, Adam, where art thou? Did you know that Adam was the king of the whole earth? And the first question in the New Testament is this question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? You say, Brother Meeks, did Jesus come? He came as the king. They said, the king of the Jews. And they said, where is he? But he was rejected, because the Bible said when she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, there was no room for him in the inn. He was rejected even in Bethlehem. The bread that came down from heaven came to the place of bread, and they rejected him. You'll not find where they ever received him. The Bible said in John 1 in verse 12, he came to his own, but his own received him not. Verse 11, but verse 12 said, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, to those that believe on his name. And I'm glad, my friend, but the Jews turned him down. He came and they said, away with him. We'll not have this king to rule over us. And they wouldn't have him. Why, Pilate said, when Pilate nailed him to a cross, old Pilate said, write over, inscribe these words, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And my friend, they recognized, even Pilate did, that they crucified the King of Israel, the King of the Jews. And so he was rejected back when he came in this world. But I say to you tonight, Jesus Christ is still rejected in 1977. There's no room for him in Georgia. There's no room for Jesus in our homes. There's no room for Jesus in many of our churches tonight. He is the rejected King. But I want to show you something before I leave this first point. There was one time in Jesus' ministry when it looked like was going to be accepted as King. My Bible said he got on a coat. Had never been ridden. And in John chapter 12, he started in Jerusalem at the feast time. There's 1.5 million Jews standing around, and as they saw him coming in riding on that untamed donkey, Jesus rode in on that donkey, and they came out and started saying, Hosanna, the King of Israel. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Did you hear what I said? It says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But they cried, Hosanna, the King of Israel. There they cried out, he's King. And brother, listen to me, they took their palms and they cut them down and he strode him in the way. The Bible said they took off their coats and they said, Hosanna. And I believe that crowd that there were that day, there were some that accepted him. You say, Brother Mace, who do you believe was there? I believe it was a little boy there, and that those Pharisees said, stop these folks from shouting and crying Hosanna to the King. There's always that crowd that don't want you to say Amen. They don't want you to say Hallelujah. They don't want you to get in faith out of the service. But I'm glad, praise the Lord, when God begins to stir my heart, squeezes my heart, juice runs out my eyes, and praise the Lord, I can enjoy the blessings of God. But you say, preacher, the Pharisee said, stop him, stop these people. Jesus said, if these stop praising me as the King, the rocks shall cry out, Hosanna. And brother, I don't want the rocks to do my shouting, and I don't want the mountains to do my praise. The Bible said in the millennial reign that the trees have clapped their hands. There's coming a day, bless the Lord. Every old tree around here is going to lift up his head. Isaiah said, clap its hand. And the Bible said the rocks and the mountains will sing. Wouldn't you love to hear a mountain around here open its mouth and begin to sing Hosanna to the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. But he said, stop them. I believe there's a little old boy standing there, and he's just jumping up and down. One of them said, stop, son, can't you be quiet? Don't you know that we cannot have this shouting? Now the little boy looked up and said, mister, you ought to have been there that day. Said, I was the only one that had enough faith to bring a lunch. And when I brought my lunch, said I handed it to Jesus. And he took five barley loaves and two little fishes. And he broke the bread. And he broke the fishes. And he blessed them and handed them out. And 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, ate. And they were filled. And nobody went away hungry. You say, Brother Mays, I don't see how it was. I believe Jesus took it up. Took it, put his hand just like I am, my handkerchief. He said, "Now, Father, I thank thee for this bread." Now, I believe every time he broke that, he jumped out. Glory to God, he'd break it, he'd jump out. And every time he'd break it, he'd jump out. Until they had a, and somebody said, "Well, preacher, what happened?" They all ate, they were filled. And the Bible said, when they all ate and were filled, let me tell you something else. Did you know he put a tablecloth out there for them? You say, "I didn't know that." It said the place where he did that, that was green grass. Oh, I'll tell you, they had the prettiest green tablecloth. I believe it had little roses and little flowers all over. And Brother decorated that thing up. But you watch this. And when he finished, there were 12 basketfuls left over. You say, what'd he do with those 12 basketfuls? He knew 12 unbelieving Baptist preachers down the road, and he sent them one apiece. Thank God. And he said, "You fellows can have it." I see that little boy shouting and praising God. And they said, "Stop him." He said, "I can't stop. I saw him take my lunch and feed the multitude." I believe there's a little straight woman standing as straight as an arrow, and she's a clapping her hands and praising God. And one of them said, "Sister, why don't you shut up? Praising the King." She said, "I can't. I can't." So let me tell you, I was all grown up and said, "I've tried everything and I've spent all my money." And then I heard about Jesus and said, one day he passed by. And if Jesus passed by, I said, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." And she said, "Mister, just as Jesus passed by, I reach out and touch the hem of his garment." Let me say this to you tonight. It's good to reach out. Surely somebody here tonight can muster enough faith to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. Praise the Lord. But I believe there's a third one, and I'll go to the next point. I believe there's a fellow standing there with the brightest eyes you've ever seen. He didn't have to have glasses on. Bless God, his eyes is bright. And I imagine as he said, "Hallelujah, Hosanna to the King." They said, "Stop saying Hosanna to the King." He said, "A king." He said, "One sat alone beside the highway begging and said, 'Jesus passed by, put mud in my eyes and said, go down to the pool of Siloam and you'll come away seeing.'" And I see him. She starts down there. Can you imagine all that old mud in his eyes? And he starts down to the pool of Siloam, and I can see him as he walks along the way, and he meets a lady from the first church. And she takes out her hanky and said, "Let me wipe your mud out of your eyes." He said, "No, thank you, ma'am." Said, "If you'll show me to the way of the pool, I'm going to come back seeing." He had enough faith to know if he found the pool of Siloam that he'd come back seeing. I imagine he stood there that day and said, "Mister, I'll not stop shouting because, praise the Lord, he opened my eyes. And there's one thing I know. First, I was blind. Now, I can see." I want to say to you, not everybody rejected the Lord Jesus back then. And not everybody's rejected him today. But I want you to know he's the rejected king. They don't want him in Washington. They don't want him in London. They don't want him, brother, in Rome, Italy. They don't want him in Jerusalem. But one morning, bless God, he's coming back. Listen to me. The last time the world saw Jesus, they rejected him and he's hanging on the cross. The next time the world will see Jesus, they'll not see him in the rapture. They'll see him when he comes in power and great glory. And every eye shall see him. And they that have pierced him will wail and cry. You say, Brother Mays, he's the rejected king. And then secondly tonight, not only is he the rejected king, but my friend, he's the righteous king. 1 Peter 2:22 says, "Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in him." He had to be the Lamb without spot and without wrinkle. No wonder John the Baptist said when he waded out in that Jordan River, held up his hand and saw the Lamb, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." troubled. One day Jesus stood with his hands tied, and Pilate looked at him, and he said, "What do you think?" He said, Pilate said, "I've looked this way, I've looked that way, and I found no fault. I haven't found anything wrong with this man. Brother, they couldn't find anything because he was the Holy of Holies. He was the purest of the pure. He was the Lamb without spot. He was righteousness. He was our righteousness." Somebody said, "Preacher Mays, you're not righteous." But over in the book of 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says he was made our righteousness. I'm glad that I have his righteousness, and it's just as though I'd never sinned. Beloved, Jesus is the King who is righteous. I want you to do something when you get home. If you don't believe I'm telling you the truth, you go back and look at nearly every king in the Old Testament. They were wicked. They took awful steps. They did awful things. I want to tell you about one who's righteous, who always has, always will do the right thing. Hallelujah. Nobody can say his proclamation will not be right. Everything that he's ever done, everything that he'll ever do, he'll do it right, mister. Thank God, I'm glad he's the righteous king. Righteousness means five things. Did you know to be righteous means five things? Let me give you one thing it means. It means to do right. And when you think about the Son of God, the King of Glory, he's going to do right. First of all, he's going to do right about salvation. Those that come to him, he's not going to cast out. I'm glad he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was preaching one night in Glen Haven about 15 years ago, and I got through preaching that night, just about through. And I said, if you was the only person in the world, I said, Jesus Christ would have come to this world and died for you. And when I said that, a young girl jumped up over on the side and said, "It's not so." Brother Randy started to get up. I said, "Hold it." And that girl said, "It's not so." And I said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." I said, "Young lady, you sit down. And when I finish preaching, I'll talk to you." But I said, if you were the only sinner in this world, Jesus so loved you that he would have left the ivory palaces of heaven. And he who knew no sin would have come down for you and died and be made sin for you. When I got through preaching, guess who was the first one at the altar? That little girl ran down there just was crying, hit that altar and got saved. And when she got up, here's what she said. She said, "My mother and daddy brought me up in Florida for a little while, and then they divorced, and they kicked me around." And she said, "I've never been to a church like this. I never heard that Jesus so loved me, that if I'd have been the only sinner in the world, that Jesus Christ would have died for me." But she said, "I'm glad I believe it now." I said, "Praise God, I'm glad I believe it now." Oh, you say, "Brother Mays, I'm glad he'll do right. He'll save from the guttermost of the animals by Christ Jesus." I'm glad. Secondly, he'll do right about sin. He's going to judge sin. Don't you put... Listen, every person in this house, God's going to bring sin into judgment. I'm glad my sin was brought into judgment on Calvary 1900 years ago. And there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus now. As far as my pardon and as far as my judicial standing with God, my sin has been judged. I'm pardoned in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, "Hey, preacher, God's going to do right about salvation, about sin. He's going to do right about service." You say, "Preacher, I've never gotten much for serving God." Well, if you give a cold cup of water in the name of the Lord, you shall not lose your reward. A missionary that leaves his family and goes to the foreign mission field. Right. Brother, listen to me. He may not have the bands to play. He may not have the comforts of this life. I want to tell you, when it's all over, and the Lord Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that'll be worth everything. The Bible said, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor's not in vain in the Lord." You hear me tonight, my friend? I'm glad Jesus is going to do right about our service. Number four, then I'll have to go to this thing. He's going to do right about our suffering. Some of you say, preacher, I've suffered. You know, Paul couldn't understand his suffering. And I can't understand it, beloved. Don't come up here and ask me, Brother Mace, why I tithe. I go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. I live clean. I pray. Why do I have to suffer? I do not know. It's one of those mysteries. Paul said, three times, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, move that thorn out. Oh, he said, God, remove that thorn. And God said, no, sir, Paul, I can't remove your thorn. But I'll tell you what I will do. I got a tub of grace oil up here, and bless God, I'll pour it around that thorn. And my grace is sufficient for your suffering. And beloved, tonight, God's grace is sufficient for every suffering Christian. And then he goes on and tells us not to be disturbed about our sufferings, these light afflictions. Listen, we ought to be disturbed because the Bible said if we suffer for him, we shall also reign. One day, bless God, we'll exchange the cross for a crown. You say, preacher, what about the Lord Jesus? First of all, he's the rejected king. Secondly, he's the righteous king. Number three, he's the rightful king. What right does Jesus Christ have to this world? Now, you know, here's what we premillennialists have gotten over a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people call me and used to write me and say, Preacher May, what do you do? Preach a second chance to repent. I've never preached a second chance. I've never got up and said that I'm premillennialist and I believe you have a second chance. No, sir. They said that I preached 1,000 years to get ready. No, sir. I never preached no such as that. But I'll tell you this. Listen to me. I believe this with all of my heart. That we need to know that Jesus Christ died for three things. He died for your soul. He died for your body. And this body is not saved yet. Romans 8 said, waiting for the redemption of the body. Some morning fair, I'll have a new body. Praise God, I'm so glad. You put on a new robe, and this old robe will fall off. And then Jesus died for this earth, and this earth is groaning under the curse of God. But when Jesus comes, the curse shall be lifted. And when we see that, that helps us. But you say, Brother Mays, what right does Jesus Christ have to be king over this world? Two reasons why he's got a right to be king. First, he made it. All that was made by him. Now, you listen to me. He created the heaven and the earth, and it's Jesus. I want you to know, my friend, the Son of God created it. It's his by creation. Number two, it's his by redemption. He shed his precious blood. And what a blessing it is to know that he's got the right to be king. One of the sweet verses over in the New Testament, the book of the Revelation, John said, I saw. You'll read every time in the book of the Revelation where it said, John said, I saw. And it'll amaze you how many times God said, look over here, John. I want you to see something. And John said, I saw one sit on a throne, and in his right hand he had a book. And in that book you find the title deeds of the earth. Now do you remember the devil's lease is about to run out on this thing? And Brother Jesus has got the title deeds, and he owns it, and he's coming back for it. Now you put that down. But that one away said, I saw one sitting on the throne, and in his right hand he had a book, and in that book he written inside and on the back seven seals. And John said, I saw a strong angel. And that angel said, who is worthy to take the book and to break the seals and to read the writing thereof? And he said, I looked up in heaven, found no one worthy. He said, I looked down in the earth, and I found no one worthy. He said, I looked under the earth, and I found no one worthy to take the book out of his hand, break the seven seals thereof, and read the writing inside. And then John said, I knelt down, started weeping, and the tears started coming like this. And then John said, I heard an elder say, weep not, John, behold. And John beheld something. He said, I saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, he said, I saw the Root of David. And he said, he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. He is able to take the book and to open up the book and to break the seals thereof. You talk about something that blesses me. If you read that last verse in chapter 4 before it says, and I saw he that sat on the throne of the book, it said, for thou art worthy. Not the Baptist, not the preacher, not the choir. But he said, for thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thee and for thy pleasure were they created. You say, preacher, who's he talking about? He's talking about the one that's worthy. He's talking about the rightful one. He's talking about the one that's got the right to take the book out, open it up, and read the inside, and break the seven seals thereof. And aren't you glad tonight, my beloved friend? I'm glad he is the rightful king. Praise God. Then I had another, and I'm going to have to skip it to go to the last. But he's the reigning king in your heart right now. You need to crown him as Lord. Not many people know the lordship of Christ. But brother, we'll never have God until we announce he's Lord. And one of these days, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord of the living, and he's Lord of the dead. And I'm glad in my heart he reigns tonight. You say, hallelujah, he's the reigning king. In my soul, he reigns now. And you'll never be that Christian that you ought to be until the Son of God reigns on your heart and sits upon the throne and tells you, because the Bible says that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Let me give you this last thing tonight, and it'll take a few minutes on this. Listen, he's the returning king. Oh, you know what happened to Jerusalem? Jerusalem would weep, and they'd stand around on the street, all those old Jews, over there in 2 Samuel 19. And somebody said, what's the matter? Well, Absalom rebelled and our king's gone. You know, they love their king. They love their king. Something about the king they love. They love his face. They love his voice. They love to see him. There's something about the king called David that Jerusalem loved. And here he was going in exile 70 miles altogether across the Jordan River. And there he was over there. And one day, some of those Jews got to walk in the streets of Jerusalem and said, why not talk about it? Let's talk about the king coming back. And the Bible said, you read this and you get home. In Malachi, the last chapter, it said, they spake one to another. You know what they're talking about in Malachi, the last chapter? They're talking about the first coming of Jesus. And they were whispering around, he's coming. And in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea. But way back under the Old Testament, in the days of King David, they said he's gone. And they walked and they mourned. And then somebody said, why not? Let's talk about the king coming back. And I want you to see the picture. Days passed. And then they announced, Absalom is dead. Absalom, let's get the king back. And one morning, there's out there on the street, they lined the street. A trumpet sounded. Across the way, they saw a chariot coming. And some of those old people started clapping their hands and dancing in the streets. And they said, yonder comes the king. Years ago, I was in Jerusalem. And they blew a trumpet and they said, sidestep. And a mile and a half before the king, Hosein got there. Boy, they pushed me aside. And he drove up in that limousine. And they said, King Hosein of Jordan is here. And everybody stands back for the king. My mind went back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, back to that time when old David sent him a message. Said, tell him I'm coming home today. Tell him, bless God, to look for the chariot. I'm going to cross the Jordan, and I'm coming back to Jerusalem. And that morning was I don't believe there's a cloud in the sky. I believe that was one of the prettiest days at Jerusalem ever had. And as they stood there and looked down toward the Jordan, down toward Jericho, down the road toward Bethany, after a while the trumpet sounded and the people started shouting, and they said, the king is coming. The king is coming. I believe tonight the sweet Holy Spirit is whispering to God's children, praise God, look down the road. It's the King's coming. And I tell you, it's good tonight to know that we can be ready for the rapture of the church. Ready for the Lord Jesus to come again. He said, be ye all so ready. Let me give you an illustration. This has always been blessed to me. I have three sons. My second son used to tell me when we'd get ready to go to church, he'd say, Daddy, can you tell out about the King? And if you've ever been to London, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you ever go to Canada, you know what I'm talking about. Every highway's marked up there. The crown. Everything's the crown. When the mounted police rescue, they rescue in the name of the crown. It's always the crown. And they've always in London looked up to the King or the Queen. Now it's the Queen, but used to be the King. Back in the days, years ago, they say there's a King that lived in London. And he'd get in his chariot, sit back in his carriage, and they'd go down the street. And they'd sound the trumpet, and people run out on the streets and say, Hey, King! Stop at our house and eat with us today. And he'd look out his window and say, Thank you. You love the King, don't you? And then he'd ride on down in that big chariot, and people run out and say, Hey, King! Live forever. And one day the King, he'd always take, the chariot would go down, and there's eight railroad tracks on it. And he always turned around down at that eight, where those big eight tracks were, and come back. And he'd always be glad to get back to pull off his crown, pull off his robe, lay his sepulcher down. One day he got back and he said, Listen to me. I'm going to let somebody go ahead and find a tramp just my size. And I want to let my hair grow out. Then I'm going to jag it up good. And he said, I'm going to let my beard grow for at least a couple of months. Then he said, I'm going to put me on some old ragged clothes. And I'm going to put a stick over my shoulder. I'm going to let them open up the big gate here at the palace. And I'm going right down that street where I parade. And I'm going to see if they love me as much as they say they do. 2 months passed by and he got him an old shirt. And I mean, it was ragged. His hair was jagged up and his beard was long. And he looked terrible. And he got him an old stick and put over his shoulders, his breeches and his shoes and his toes. One of the serfs, they don't call them servants, they call them serfs. One of the serfs said to him, King, if I didn't know you was a king, you'd fool me. I'd believe you're the biggest tramp on the street today. He said, That's what I want them to think. I want them to know. I want them to see if they really love me. He looked at him. He said, Don't you call Scotland Yard. He said, If you call Scotland Yard, I'll put you in jail. He said, It may be a day. It may be 2 days. It may be 3 days, but I'll be back. And he said, I want to find out if they really love the king or if they're really ashamed of the king. So finally, they blew the trumpet up there, and he said, All right, open the gates. And he went down, started down the street. He walked up to that lady that always went out and said, Come and eat with me, King. And he said, How you do, ma'am? Would you have anything to eat for me? And she looked up and saw his old ragged shirt and his old ragged breeches. And she said, Psh, get away from me, you tramp. Don't you know we have nothing to do with tramps on this street? He said, Yeah, but you don't know who I am. She said, It don't make any difference who you are. Get out of here! And he said, I didn't know that you felt like that. You've always wanted me to come and eat with you. And then he took and walked to the next house. And he said, Well, maybe I made a mistake walking up where the lady was in the garden there, but I'll go to the back door. And he went to the back door this time, knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, a woman came to the door and said, Seek him. Seek the dog on him. And the dog bit the old tramp of the king on the leg. And he said, Ma'am, call the dog off. Said, You've always wanted me to live forever. And she said, Not you, you tramp, you. I want you to live forever. Get out of here. I'll stick that dog again on you. He said, It's a funny thing. You've always asked me to live forever. And he walked all day that day down that street. Nobody let him in. He came to the eight tracks and he looked across over there. Saw a little house on the other side of the eight tracks. And he said, I've never been over there. Never been across these tracks in my parade, but I'm going over there now. And the roof was about to fall in. The windows weren't too sturdy. And he went over there and he knocked on the door. And slowly a door opened. And stood a man trembling, a little girl holding to her daddy's breeches leg. And she looked up and said, Hi, mister. And he said, Hi, how are you today? First time anybody's spoken kind to me. Thank you for being kind. And the man said, Get out of here. Get out! said they have a decree here that if we have anything to do with a bomb on the street or we have anything to do with a tramp, they'll put us in jail. And he said, by the way, we're poor anyway. We're just not out on the streets, and we don't have just a cup of soup apiece, and that's all we've got. One from a girl, one from me, one from a wife. And the little girl looked up at him and smiled and said, Mister, you can come in if Daddy will let you and have my soup. I'll be without soup tonight. Said, Mister, I like you. And said, you can come in, sleep in my bed, and I'll sleep on a pallet tonight. And he said, would you let me in, son? You mentioned, come in before anybody sees you. And they took the old king in, and he went in and sat down and put his old stick over there in his old ragged clothes. And the man said, I'll go in, me and my wife will call you in a minute. The little girl looked at him and said, Mister, I'm glad you stopped by my house. I don't know why they don't like you. I like you. Said, you know, I'm glad you came. And if you ever come back this way, stop at my house. You can have my soup, and you can sleep in my bed. And so he ate her soup, and he slept in her bed that night. Next morning, they had a little breakfast. And when they finished, he said to the man, and the woman said, would you go in the other room, please? Go in the other room. And so they went in the other room, and the king said to the girl, come over here. Now, you don't know who I am, and you'll never believe this, but look at my eyes. Get down here in front of me. Right down there. That's right. And I'm going to get right down in front of you. That king got right on his knees, and she looked at him, and she started to cry. She said, I've never seen eyes like that, mister. They're so kind and so tender. Oh, I'm glad I was good to you. And he said, don't forget these eyes. He said, Mom, Dad, come quickly. I've got to go. He got his stick, put it over his shoulder. He said, I'll be back. I'll be back. And he started, he ran out and ran across the 8 tracks and started up the road and ran. He ran. He'd stop and rest. Nobody offered him a place to come and sit down. Nobody threw him out a biscuit. Finally, they saw him from the tower of the palace, and they said, open the gates and blow the trumpet. The king is coming. And so they opened the gates, and the king ran in. He was awful tired. The serfs ran out and said, we've got the doctor to examine you. And he said, forget the doctor. Said, we've got everything. Oh, he said, I've been eating in a good house. I've been eating in a kind house. I don't need nothing to eat. He said, get my barber. I want the best haircut I've ever had. I want the best shave I've ever had. I want you to get the best robe. Oh, but king, rest a while. Oh, he said, no. No! He said, I found me a family. I'm going back for that family. And said, I want you to hurry now. And he said, can you go tomorrow? He said, no, I've got to go today. And said, get the biggest chariot we got. And 8 of the finest horses in England. And said, I usually sit inside the carriage. But I'm going to sit up there with the driver today. Now I want that trumpeter to go before the horses and the chariot. And blow and say, the king's coming. So after about 2 hours, he got up there and he said, you've never sat up here with the driver. He said, yes. I've done a lot of things I never had done until yesterday. And he said, you drive on. But you stop when they run out. I want to speak to them. And they blew the trumpet. And they said, blow the trumpet. The women run out and say, hey, live forever, king. And he looked down and he said, I did stop here. You seek the dog on me. And you're ashamed of me. And I'm ashamed of you. Oh! So they'd go on. And he'd stop. And when he'd stop, the lady'd say, hey, king, I want you to get out and come and eat at my house. He said, you wouldn't give me a biscuit yesterday. You said you didn't want anybody like me around. And you told me to get out and you'd have me arrested. Said you was ashamed of me, and I'm ashamed of you. And the chariot kept going, and finally we came to the 8 tracks. And the serf pulled the reins back and said, whoa! Said, king, here's where we turn around. He said, no, here's where we used to turn around. He said, we're going right over there, that house across the tracks today. And that man said, I don't think. He said, don't make a difference what you think. You drive right up in front of that little house. And the man said, now surely you won't get down. Let me get down. Your feet have never touched. Oh, he said, but my feet haven't touched that ground. He said, I'll get down. And they pulled that big chariot over there, and the king looked at him and said, does my crown look good? Does my robe look good? My scepter could look good. He said, yes, sir, king, it looks good. He said, thank you. He walked up and took that big, hard scepter and said, and the door slowly opened, and a man opened it up and said, he's just a tramp on the street. He's just a tramp on the street, Mr. King. We didn't know. We gave him what best we had. You can put him in jail, but he's just a tramp on the street. That little girl holding on her daddy's breeches leg wiped away the tears. And I don't care what you say, Mr. King. If he ever comes back, he can have my bread. If he ever comes back, he can have my bed to sleep in. Mister, I want you to know I'm not ashamed of him. That King said to her daddy and mama, said, go in the back in the kitchen and wait just a minute. They went back in the kitchen to wait. And when he went back in the kitchen to wait, he got down on his knees and said, come here. That little girl walked over that trembling and said, I don't care what you say, I still love him. And he had the prettiest eyes. And he took that crown, pushed it back, and he said, look in these eyes again. That little girl started looking in those eyes. She started screaming, clapping her hands. Oh, she said, no! Mother and dad came running and said, what's wrong? Is he hurting you? She said, no. He was a tramp yesterday, but he's the king today. I just looked in his eyes. He's the king. And he gathered them up and took them and put them in the carriage. I can see him standing up there, Jerusalem now. They looked down the road and somebody started shouting and they started waving their hands. They said, yonder he comes. The chariots are coming. The kings are coming. Brother, listen. He said, if you're ashamed of me in the sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you when I come before my Father. The king is coming. Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed. The king is coming.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. I'm glad when he knocked at my door. I had room
yes.
for it. Hallelujah. I'm glad when nobody else wanted to invite him in where I lived. I said, yes, I got room. Now I said, I'm not ashamed. Come on in my house. And he came in my heart that night. And oh, you say, Brother Mays, one day he's coming back after Mays. I'm glad I didn't shut him out. I'm glad I didn't pick up stones and throw at him. I'm glad I said, yes, I've got room. And he came in.
Yes, he did.
And I gave him my best. And he said, I'm going to go now, Mays. And one morning I'm coming back again.
That's right.
Oh, he said, I'm coming back again. And friend, if you know him now, he'll know you then. But if you don't know him now, he won't know you then. Listen to me. When that trumpet sounds, only the in Christ will go. The dead in Christ first, and we that live remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Thank God. I'm ready. I know him. I haven't been ashamed of him. If he comes tonight, I'm ready to meet him. How many of you can say, Brother Mays, thank God, without a shadow of a doubt. Oh, I want you to know everything's right between me and God. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm in fellowship with Jesus. Preacher, I haven't been ashamed of the Lord. Everything's right between me and God. Hold up that hand. Let's see it all over the house. Would you lift it up? Let us see it quickly. Lift it up high. All right, now take your hand down. Thank you. God bless you. I'm glad you could lift your hand. Let me ask you the second question tonight. How many of you back here tonight will say, Preacher, I couldn't lift up my hand then. Brother Mays, I'm not ready. I want you and Brother Sammy and the good people in this church to pray for me. Would you slip up that hand? Let me see it tonight. If you couldn't raise it up then, hold it up and let me see it. We want to pray for you right there in your seat. Hold up your hand. I want to pray for you. Would you hold up your hand there and say, Preacher, remember me tonight. I'm not right with the Lord. Remember me. God bless you, sir. And I believe this man on the back raised his hand last night, folks. I want you to pray for him. Is there somebody else? Say, Preacher, I want you to pray for me. God bless the little boy. Is there another? Lift up your hand. Say, Preacher, I'm not ready. I want you to pray for me. Hold up your hand. We've had two, man and a young boy. Is there anybody else? Quickly, let us see your hand. God's dealing with you now. Friend, you can be ashamed of Jesus if you want to. You can close him and lock him out of your life if you want to. You can turn away if you want to. But I want to say this. When he comes, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. When he comes, he'll turn away from you. When he comes, he'll have nothing to do with you. My, I'm so glad I've received him.
I've crowned him king. I'm glad I know him tonight. And if Jesus calls me home, I'm ready to meet him. How many of you say, preacher, I'm not ready? I want you to pray for me. Hold up that hand. Let me see it. Would you lift it up? Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. All right, that's six. Anybody else say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I'm not right. I want you to remember me tonight. Hold up your hand. Would you lift it up? Lift it up. Let me see it. God speaking to you right there. I'd hate to be in your shoes. I'd hate to be where you are. God bless that little girl. Yes, I see it. That's seven. There's another. Lift up your hand. Preacher, I'm not right. I'm not ready to meet the Lord. Preacher, I want you to pray for me. Hold up your hand. We've had seven. Lift our hands tonight. There's another. Hold up your hand. Let me see it tonight. There's one more. God speaking to you back there. I tell you, if you're ashamed of Jesus, if you're not ready to receive him, friend, he's going to be ashamed of you. Father, I thank you tonight for the joy of knowing the Lord. Lord, I'm glad you said, be ye also ready for such hours. You think not, so cometh the Son of Man. Lord, you said if we'd be ashamed of you, you'd be ashamed of us. And God, there are people right in this house, seven of them tonight we know of. Maybe many more that's not ready to meet God. No, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, not a one of these will leave here lost. Not a one of these will go to hell. Lord, I plead the blood tonight that not a person shall walk out of this auditorium until they know they're right with God. Lord, I pray for others that didn't raise a hand. I pray for mothers back there tonight. I pray for daddies back there tonight. Oh, God, I pray for boys and girls that are lost tonight. Then, Lord, there's some folks backslidden out of fellowship with God in this service. I pray that they'll be like Jacob. They'll go back to Bethel in this service. They'll come back to God. Lord, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're going to do. May these come on the first stanza in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look this way. We're going to sing what, brother?
341.
Number three. What a friend we have in Jesus. 341. Now listen, I want you seven that raise your hand. I want you to come for prayer. I want every one of you to raise your hand for prayer. I want you to come down this aisle. I want you to come, Brother Samuel, meet you here. There's some already praying here at the altar for you. And while we stand, while we sing this song, you seven at least, come right on down while we sing. Don't wait. Come on, we're going to pray. Come on. Let's everybody stand. Let's everybody sing, all right? Come right on while we sing. Hurry. Come to Jesus. What a friend. Yes. Yes, thank God. Just come right on. Just step right out. Brother Mace, God's calling me. God's speaking to me tonight. Yes. Yes. What a privilege it is to carry. Oh, yes. Just come right on.